There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave counsel. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Election Day Tuesday. Glad to have you along. And of course, a lot to go on today's show. And a reminder, our continuing coverage also 8 o'clock tonight as we start getting the results in from the state of Alabama and around the country. And we'll be doing that from 8 until it takes tonight after the George Williams Show, but Midday Mobile for the next couple hours. I want to say this before we go to our first guest, and the perfect first guest on this day. Thank you. I've got, so we're doing, I think I've said, we're doing like a big free reworking of all our internet here, and because really it's because of y'all. Thank you. But the demand for podcasts, the demand for streaming for this station, we just busted our britches, and so we've really stepped up to the next level. My buddy John Hill from Ascension Technology and his crew are here, and they were just doing a thing here in the studio that's pretty critical. Our phones, and they're like a pit crew. They all roll in here, and over like 5 minutes' time, after Jeff got off and I came on, they got it all done. Amazing. I should have taken a video of that. All right, so it is Election Day Tuesday. As always, we get your firsthand accounts of how it looks at your polling place. I see some of the texts that have already come in, well, a lot of them throughout the day. If you're voting at lunch, let me know how your poll looks year to year. If you kind of vote at the same time every year, that's always interesting. That, you know, how's the crowd look for you versus how it looked, you know, the last time you were there. So we'll talk about that as well. And like I said, I had the perfect guest to start this all off. He is Secretary of State of the state of Alabama. John Merrill joins us now. John, thanks for your time.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm well, not as busy as you are. So thank you.
Yes, sir. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. So your job on when you finally get to Election Day, right? So, I mean, so much work is done for you in your office getting ready for elections. Election Day is it just going and checking in? Is everything? What do you do on the Election Day proper?
Well, a number of things, but the main thing is to make sure that there are no issues or concerns that take place in any one of the 1,980 polling sites in the state, and to make sure that if there are minor issues that are introduced, that they're immediately resolved, because we don't want anybody to have an encumbrance at any polling place or in any county in the state.
Does it work like polling place, whatever, number 171? Something happens, they don't have an answer for, they call your office, something like that. How do they reach out to you directly? Do you have somebody on site?
Yeah, typically they're going to start with a probate judge because they want to make sure that the probate judge knows what's going on since he or she is the chief election official in that county. And then if it's a law enforcement issue, they'll also involve the sheriff just to make sure that things are given the kind of attention that need to be given. And we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure nobody has a problem. So there's a protocol where people will reach out just to ensure that there's not any kind of concern that can't be handled at the local level. But if we need to be involved, then we are involved by the election officials at that local site to make sure that we take care of all those problems before they become real issues instead of just inconveniences.
Are you hearing anything on, you know, you talked with me before, you've been very public about that on shows on this station, elsewhere, in print. You expect turnout today to be 45% to 50%. Are you seeing any data in one way or another on that? Do you still feel that's going to happen?
This morning we had approximately, when we've been open about 2.5 to 3 hours, we were at approximately 11%, which means that we're on target to be right about that number, about 44%.
for the day. And so we felt like the projection is where we needed to be.
Okay. If you're just joining us, talking to Secretary of State John Merrill, we'll come back to some Alabama things, but I want to ask you this. In your job and doing the job that is, well, it's been noticed around the country of how elections are run in Alabama. And so I'll ask you this. Maybe you pick on other Secretary of State, or just why does it take so long to get voting results in other states? We know they're already kind of sandbagging elsewhere that it could be days or this or that. Why? Explain that to me. Give me an educate so I'm educated.
It should not be taking any time, actually, because once the polls close, there is a period of time when all of that needs to be taken care of immediately. And we would not think that it takes any longer than it takes us because of the way the communication occurs from the local polling site to the central location in the county and then from the central location in the county at the county seat here to us in Montgomery at the state capitol. And that's why we have offered our services to make it easier for other people around the nation if they've got inconveniences, and we'll be happy to help them solve their problems.
So, okay, for example, for absentee ballots, those are sent in. I heard a discussion, a lot of states, they start the counting of that when they close the polls. But what do? We do it that way in Alabama, or do we count them beforehand or during the day?
Say it one more time, my friend.
Absentee ballots. So yeah. I heard something discussed that other states were, they wait till the polls close, do that, and then start counting the absentee ballots. Do we do it that way in Alabama, or are we counting them during the day?
No, we actually count absentee ballots. We actually count absentee ballots throughout the day.
Okay.
And make sure that there's no issue. They can start being fed into the tabulators at 7 a.m., and they will be fed until all those ballots have been counted. So there should be dedicated absentee tabulators that are used just for that purpose. So there should not be a delay any time for any purpose.
Okay. So when I heard that story, and I really don't even remember which state it was, but I said, that's really inefficient. Right. I mean, if you're there and once the polls open, you can legally start counting those absentees, put some people in the corner, like you're saying, and that's what they do.
That's exactly right.
Anything else you're looking for? So you feel good because you're, and that's interesting. So you can model that by that 11% early, that was turned out early this morning, that models through to tell you 44% or so for the day. Yeah. Does those numbers hold up?
Yes, sir, if they hold up. And, of course, it's a beautiful day, so we shouldn't have any issues. And we anticipated, like I said, 45 to 50%. We have 3,689,235 registered voters in the state. That's going to put us between 1.65 million and 1.84 million people voting today in the 1,980 polling sites in the 67 counties.
All right. He's a man for numbers, for sure. He can always do that. Secretary of State John Merrill, I appreciate you checking in as we get started with the show today.
Sean, thank you. Call me anytime.
All right, will do. There he is, Secretary of State John Merrill, as we get rolling on this election day. And if you didn't hear earlier, just a reminder, we'll be back on at 8 tonight. So after the George Williams Show, Dalton and Dan and Jeff and I, and maybe some guests, and of course, hearing from you on the text line and on the phone lines, we'll be doing that from 8 until. If things get wrapped up early, I get home and get some sleep. If not, like we've done in the past, we'll continue that discussion. All right. I do want to grab a couple texts here, and then we want to get to story number one. Okay. No, this is good. So Matt says, Bon Secours, polling locations packed, aligned to the outside. Wally said he had texted her. Okay. In Bellforest, 615 vote count as of 10:19, usually about 350 at 2 in the afternoon. Wow, that's significant. There's people talking about specific number. So, and the reason why I do this, and this is unscientific, but I think it's probably worth noting. Most of us generally, right? So I stepped away from that comment two more times, but you vote at the same time. Right, you vote before work, you vote at lunch, you vote after work, unless something wild comes up, you vote like that. So it is important that you vote at the same time and you have a kind of an idea, and I think most people do, then you have an idea of what the turnout looks like. And it's, you know, over the 14 years of this radio station, all the elections we've all gone through, y'all's firsthand accounts have really, I mean, we've been ahead of the data coming out that y'all would say it's more or less. And then you look at the big numbers and it reflects it. For me, it was this morning at ER Dixon where I vote. So it was busy. I'll say this. Parking lot had a lot of people in it, but that doesn't always mean because there's people working this and that. But I had to wait maybe a minute to get a seat, you know, there with the little. Oh, let me go on to that for a second. You know how they have the little dividers there. You have your security folder. You carry your ballot to, and you sit down to fill out the Scantron. The tables need to be. This is my one thing. So for Mobile County, let's have wider tables so we can turn that legal size piece of paper, you know, perpendicular to us, right? Instead of having to angle it. So there it is. There's my only beef. And for some reason, no I voted sticker this morning. It looks like everybody else I've seen in here got one, but we got no stickers this morning. That's it. Other than that, it was good. It looked pretty much like the turnout was for the primary to me. So, the primary was low. So I may be the one person that says it doesn't seem any higher to me, but I'm looking at so many of y'all telling me that it is higher. Mark in West Mobile voted an hour ago, First Baptist Church of Sims. It was busy. Bill says there will always be issues with elections. What we should strive for is there will be no problems. Okay, well, yeah, but I mean, we're always going to have problems. But you want to know that the system is set up to deal with those. It sounds like, I mean, we're in that place. Hey, by the way, voter turnout too. Now, you know, you just really judge, I guess the best way, you judge yourself against yourself, right? What was our turnout in the, you know, previous general? What is our turnout this time? But we as a state, we're not leading. And you get this idea that, you know, we'll be all very excited that we get, let's say we got 45%. This is not of citizens. This is of registered voters, right? You get 45% turnout, and then they'll all be, you know, we'll have a parade going down Main Street. Dun, 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 dun. Hey, we made 45%. That's sad, man. That's sad. This is one of those key parts to being part of our republic, and it's sad. You know, I heard some people the other day, or yesterday, in a place where I was getting my hair cut, and their knowledge of there being this general election, this midterm general election today, was because it affected their children's schools. They had their kids were doing virtual today, or they had a day off, or something to that effect. That was, and these are grown adults that should know. They don't have to be as engaged as y'all are. They don't have to be super wonks on policy, but they should know. You know, you got an election coming up. And they said, oh, yeah, we found out about it because the kids have to do a virtual or something like that. I remember going, looking around there yesterday, going, really, y'all are all well into adulthood. Citizens should be engaged. So when we talk about the 45 or 50%, we make that. Realize there's other states that, I mean, if it's not in the 70s, they're having a bad cycle. So there it is. And I understand, before I even go to the text line, and I've said it before, if you're an uninformed voter, you don't know what you're talking about, you probably shouldn't vote. But go get informed and then vote. All right, coming back to plenty of text on this. Also on the way, hour two of the show today, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran joins us. We'll talk with him. This is going to be, this Ask the Sheriff thing that we've done all these years. As he is heading out from the sheriff's office, we'll talk about that over the years and how many more we have with him. We'll talk about that. Also, some election numbers from around the country. We'll talk about the races here in Alabama. Plus, I got to revisit. I know it's in the news with WKRG, but when I first heard Jessica Taloney this morning talk about that California couple jailed in Baldwin County on the drug trafficking and possession charges, I said, that story, we got to slowly read that story and get some detail. That's coming up and a whole lot more. This is Midday Mobile. It's Election Day. Glad you're here.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Also, a reminder, yes, as we finish out the week with Veterans Day, all the veterans events with FM Talk 106.5 coming up on Thursday. So, first of all, it's Scuttlebutt Radio Network that happens every week, show for veterans by veterans. They're going to have their show tomorrow night, but also will join me on the battleship on Thursday. We're usually at the battleship on Thursday. on Wednesdays. But this week, it's going to be Thursday, so we'll be there doing our show from the battleship. I'll do Midday Mobile till 1 o'clock, and then starting at 1 o'clock, Scuttlebutt Radio Network, part 2 for this Veterans Day week. That'll happen from 1 to 2. And then on Friday, reminder, hopefully you get to come out and be part of it. We're doing like our punch list and stuff for this morning in the station meeting as we bring out with our sponsors like Greer's and Allegri and Yellowhammer Coffee. And my man, Wayne Biggs with Azalea City, bringing the waters, bringing all the beverages. We come out, we feed and water, we come out and feed and beverage the veterans before they start their parade on Friday morning. And Dan and Dalton do Mobile Mornings out there. We'll be hanging out. So hopefully if you could just stop in, even if you're not a vet, somebody just come out and shake some hands and say thank you and enjoy that broadcast starting at 6 on Friday morning, and then I will be live from the Veteran of the Year, the Veterans Day program at Fort Whiting later on that day. So this show, noon to two, will be live from Fort Whiting. That's coming up, plus Fisher House over the weekend. We'll tell you more about it coming up. A big lineup, and of course, more of our interviews with veterans all month long, as it is Veterans Month here at FM Talk 106.5. All right, my man, Dan, speaking of Dan, so Dan just poked his head in from his office to the studio. He voted about 10:45 or so this morning at St. Paul's. He said the turnout was busy, like maybe busier than normal there. That was about 10:45. I know Backstrap Stacker and I voted the same place, said it was about steady about 9 a.m. this morning at E.R. Dixon. So Bob says, Sean, plan voting after work. Can you tell me where the sample ballots are online so I can look at them during lunch? Hey, Leanna, if we want to put them up, they may already be on our Facebook page, our fantastic Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. If they're not, if you'll go to, let's see, because I keep these, I keep many, many tabs open. It's Secretary of State's office. It's like sos.alabama.gov. But if you just Google Mobile County Sample Ballot 2022 or Baldwin County Sample Ballot 2022, it actually will go to a page that lists all 67 counties in Alabama. You click your county, it opens up a PDF of the sample ballot, and you can zoom it because my eyes are failing me. You can zoom in maybe at 150 or 200% like I have to be able to read things. That's where they are, but hopefully we can get them on our social media platforms. I'll give you that link at least to the state of Secretary of State's office, but that's where you go. Another Bob. This Bob says, Theodore, no line, steady stream of voters at 11:50. Doesn't have meta points out. Getting a haircut at 50, I'm a damn show-off. I am. Listen, my hair is something. Doesn't have meta. Fantastic hair. I mean, the ladies there comment, they're like, you have to come in like every month, don't you? I said, yeah, pretty much. If it gets, you know, if I go like 2 months, I approach that Jerry Garcia look, which is not a good one for me. Unnamed Texter, we vote in Walnut Hill, Florida, right on the Alabama state line. Very rural area. Many people voting. More people voting than I can remember in a long time. Poll workers said they had been busy since the polls opened. Okay, that's right across the line in Walnut Hill, Florida. I think it was the legendary author and woodsman Tom Kelly who told me in a conversation he and I had one time. Tom Kelly, amazing guy. He and I get in these strange conversations, and he'd say, that area around Walnut Hill, Sean, that's good timber. That seam grows good pine timber. So, yeah, Walnut Hill, y'all grow some good pine timber, because Mr. Kelly would know. Pat says, person from Cali wins the lotto, dreams ruined. Yeah. But you know what will happen, Pat, now is nobody will want to buy it when it opens back up, right? And it's going to be, I don't know, some paltry $5 million, $6 million. There'll be a bunch of people say, I'm not going to go for that lottery. It's not $1.9 billion. Yeah, because like a few million wouldn't help. All right, a lot more text coming in on your polling place. We'll get to those as we do our very unscientific lineup of this, but it ends up being true more often than not. But yeah, keep them coming. So we got that. And coming up in hour number two, we'll talk to Sheriff Sam Cochran. Also, Elon Musk recommends voting for Congress, Republicans for Congress. We'll talk about that.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock tonight. People asking, election coverage right after the George Williams show. George may do some himself, but the team in here tonight at 8 o'clock with the information as it comes in from here in Alabama and around the country, plus your discussion tonight, 8 o'clock until right here on FM Talk 106.5 on this election day, midterm election day. Well, maybe I can get some, get the Arcadia playing here in a little bit. Remember, like I play that song every year, that election day song. Remember Arcadia, like an 80s supergroup? It was like almost everybody in Duran Duran except one of them. They formed like another group that was Arcadia, released an album. I don't know. We'll get off that. All right, from the text line here, Sims guy, fairly busy at the river in Sims. Mike Schillinger at Creekwood Church, not busy at all at 12:20 p.m. So that one, that there's one that's not busy. Mine was just, it seemed normal, although we had other texters that said later in the day it seemed to pick up there. It was not busy, it was just kind of, it was full. I mean, you had to wait a second to get a seat to fill out your deal, so maybe it was pretty full. Tim said, I saw a lot of libertarians on the ballot today. If there was someone that would like to vote for them. I thought, yes, well, they got themselves on the ballot. I think it's a good thing. I'm sorry this bucks the... I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry at all. Bucks the trend of so many. I like, if you want to have the feature for straight ticket voting, but even when I have voted straight ticket, I fill them in individually. I think it's a, if you don't stop and think, you know, you just make yourself think for that individual candidate. You know, it's, I don't believe in not having competition out there. I'll put it that way. Maximus, Creekwood was quick but steady. This unnamed texter say, I will say it with you, turnout will be low. To make an overly broad statement, people are comparing turnout at a general to a primary or a runoff. The general will naturally be higher, of course. Yes, unnamed texter. I will bet you a dollar you will be talking about your voter apathy later this week. Yeah, well, you're probably right, because if you've heard from me over time, I do talk about it. I want to put some things in perspective, too. For example, like, if you chart, you could go out and Google voter turnout rankings in different elections, and these are all, I think, in generals, and from 96 through 2020. And, I mean, we're below the national average, I think, every time. Maybe there's an exception, because I got stacks and columns in front of me here. But Alabama below the national average. Like, even in a year, let's say a year for a good turnout for Alabama. All right, so there's one. Okay, let's say Alabama had a really good turnout. The 08 general, Alabama turned out 58.4%. Okay, 58.4%. That is heady numbers for Alabama. Let's throw a parade. Let's go marching around. That same cycle, Minnesota did 73.2% voter turnout. And the top 10 were from 65 to 73%. That's what I'm talking about. So yeah, I probably will go back on my soapbox about the apathy. I don't know if I'll change that until things change. Now, it's not this audience. I mean, y'all are, you know, by the nature of listen, y'all high grade yourselves in many ways. So y'all's turnout is like probably 90 something percent, but it's just not the same everywhere. Fire Dog, wife just voted in Belle Forest, where she was in and out in 5 minutes, but all the tables were full. That's kind of my, that was me this morning, Fire Dog. It was, all tables were full, but it was quick. Common Sense Winner said smooth sailing while voting at Union Baptist in Grand Bay. Tim said voted straight ticket Republican, voted against all the amendments except Anaya's law. Let's see. Don, good afternoon, Sean. Good afternoon, Don. Voted in Citronelle this morning. In and out in 5 minutes, and encouraging to hear how many people have gotten out to vote today. You certainly do facilitate us turning up our voice. Keep up the great work, sir, and thank you for your staff. Oh, this is nice. Very nice of you. Thank you for what we do every day. I appreciate that, Don. That was my idea when I started this radio station. And, you know, with the story that we haven't even gotten into, but Jeff has carried it enough, about the printed paper going away and those things. Number one, this is what I wanted to do with the station. And number two, the situation warrants it. Communities, you can get your movies on Netflix and your music through Spotify and do all these things. And, you know, your Amazon drones in your supply of toilet paper, whatever it is, and disconnect from a local community and those things. But we... people need a connection to our community, right? That's what's most important. And that's why we're here. And I appreciate you saying what you did. Unnamed texter, hi, Sean. We voted at 11 Cody Road in West Mobile. Parking lot was full, very busy, running smoothly, easy peasy. All right. Let's see. Matt says, please don't be sorry, Sean. If it wasn't for Anaya's Law and some libertarians on the ballot, I wouldn't have gone. So tired of what my party has been putting forward in some races. Unnamed texter, chairs were full at Baker at 12:30. Good. Right, what Chris says, and that's not even a percentage of the population. Right, it's what we're talking about is registered voters. Chris, you and I are on the same page. It's text says, regarding apathy, not many good people to encourage you to get out. I agree, but it's never going to be perfect, right? It's never going to be perfect. A decision has to be made. Maybe you go in, hold your nose, and vote for the lesser of two evils, but you go do it. David. At lunchtime, J.E. Turner Elementary in Wilmer. What's up, Wilmer? Wasn't too busy at the moment, but had a steady stream of voters. Poll workers said it was very busy this morning. But he said Burns Middle School was the busiest I've ever seen it. A worker there told me it had been like that all morning. So this is good. Unnamed texter, Sean. Funny about that CSX decided to close the railroad crossing in the Perdido community today. Or, as right, y'all call it Dieter. Perdido community today, of all the days for repairs, our polling house is less than a quarter mile from the crossing. You have to drive 20 miles out of the way to vote if you're on the wrong side of the tracks. Really? CSX, come on. Have somebody in the office there go, hey, yeah, maybe we shouldn't do this on election day, unless there's something I don't understand that you had to do it this day. You know, Dirt Digger says election day needs to be a holiday and paid for if proof you voted. I'm going to disagree. Let's see. Sims guy said, get out and vote. Then take yourself down to LCM Motors and get you a new ride. Yeah. Common Sense says, haha, I did hold my nose today. Oh, and this text, interesting. In 08, there was a very high profile race in Minnesota. Both parties had full government ground games. Last time ALGOP had a real get-out-the-vote effort was in 2010. Senate race in Minnesota is talking about, okay, but, and I hear what you're saying, that's good. That's good information, texter. But at the same time, you can go back through, I'm looking at 96, 2000, 2004, 2008, 2012, 2016, and 2020. And Alabama, with the exception of, no, always falls below the national average in every one of those. No, that's not right. 08, they came above the national average. All others, Alabama below the national average. Bringing in the rear, it's either Nevada or Hawaii. Now, Hawaii, they got an excuse, right? I mean, yeah, you could go billfish it or scuba dive or surf or go vote. I mean, maybe that's tough to make that choice. Nevada, I don't know. And Texas, they said Texas came in. In 2020, at the bottom at 51% turnout, when Alabama that year came in at 61%. So, all right, we'll get back to these texts here in a little bit. I do want to hit this story before we go to the news, and then we'll come back. But I heard the story the first thing this morning. I know this is different than all the other election stories, but this one needs to be addressed now. Needs to be addressed. And maybe I can get reaction from Sheriff Cochran on this. Can I cue up the music for this story? Y'all probably heard it before, but go ahead and cue the music. All right. Perfect. All right, so this from our news partners at WKRG. You've heard it in their news updates, but here's the full story. Headline, California couple jailed in Baldwin County on drug trafficking and possession charges. Dateline Daphne said it's the kind of vehicle that would draw anyone's attention. An old school bus with its tie-dyed motif and unusual shape. This coming from Daphne Police Sergeant Jason Vinoy said it had a very loud paint job and had been partially made into a convertible. It would attract a lot of attention in any aspect out there. We'll get to that in a second. It said it would attract a lot of attention in any aspect, but especially parked at the Target parking lot on a Saturday. So now we've set the scene here for this. Then you add to this. So I'm doing the police work here, right? So you've got this vehicle. It stands out. Like, you'd think if you're doing something nefarious, you probably wouldn't want to stand out. But I see exceptions to that. I see, you know, the people with the weed leaf sticker on the back of their car, and they've got a joint in their hand. I'm saying you're trying to get yourself caught. But it goes on. There's more. So once again, we've pictured this bus, a psychedelic bus, right? And pictures are probably up on our Facebook. Psychedelic bus is there. That's fine. You got all the rights in the world to drive a psychedelic bus. I don't care. Next part. The smell of burning marijuana, which is just like every gas station I seem to go to here around the radio station. I mean, you just... But it says, the smell of burning marijuana coming from the open windows also drew unwanted attention. So the smell of the marijuana was not... What was a contributing factor to this. Okay. When police arrived, they found Holden Chandler, 28, and Brielle Healy, 23, and what police say was a whole lot of marijuana. Quote, there was 13 pounds of marijuana, a large amount of what's called shatter, a marijuana derivative, and there were some mushrooms. Come on now. When I say mushrooms, I need you to hit the music. Okay, so back to the story. So the mushrooms. Now they go on. Police estimate there were more than 100 joints. So the pre-rolled joints here. I love this detail. In a Gucci shoebox. So we got the psychedelic bus. The Alice's Restaurant bus. Okay, with convertible thing. So you can catch some rays. You've got the smell of marijuana coming out. And you've got all the 13 pounds of marijuana. And then 100 joints pre-rolled. In a Gucci shoebox. Why? I mean, you don't want it like a shoebox for a pair of Merrells or something. No, a Gucci shoebox. So, more from the police here from Vinoy said, you certainly can't make the argument that you were in the bus and didn't know what was in there. But that's exactly what Healy and Chandler did, admitting to possessing a couple of joints and nothing else. And then he said, we don't usually encounter that amount. So now we have kind of what happened Saturday, at least in the allegation, you know, what the report says from law enforcement. Goes on to say, the couple traveled to Florida from California. So you picture going, they came from California. That bus probably doesn't stand out in California. Areas of Florida where it wouldn't stand out either. Daphne may be a little different. So the couple traveled to Florida from California, where Healy told police she worked as an exotic dancer. Okay, so like traveling nurses out there, right? Like you travel where the money's better. I guess the better money as doing exotic dancing in Florida. You go seasonally, you travel, you migrate where they make it rain more. They go on to say they were on their way to Mississippi when they stopped in Daphne to let their dogs out at the dog park and get a bite to eat. Their bus is now parked in a tow yard. The couple with a mandatory extended stay in Baldwin County on drug trafficking and possession charges. The estimated value of the drugs found inside the bus, more than $70,000. Healy and Chandler remain in Baldwin County Jail with bonds set at more than $30,000 each. Their dogs are in the custody of animal control until they can resolve their legal challenges. So there's the rest of that story. You may have heard of headlines on that this morning. Just thought it was of interest. So if you're going to, I don't know if I'm some criminal mastermind, but if I'm got mushrooms and weed, right, don't be a stereotype. Drive like a, drive a minivan, okay? Drive a minivan or like a Camry or something, not tie-dyed. Don't have the weed smoke coming out the window. These are just some ideas. 12:48. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, answer to Bob and others who are talking about the sample ballots, too. Those are linked through on our Facebook page. I mean, you can Google them as well, but if you just want to go to facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, Leanna has them up there for you. More turnout results is always good. It's very interesting what y'all say, and over the 14 years of the station, it proves it out. That if the turnout is going to be bigger or less than the previous cycle, it's kind of what you'll see firsthand. I believe in that. Via Midtown, 1,200 votes by 12:30 today. Thank you, Haywood. Aiden and Citronelle said you should be willing to make an effort to vote. Agree. Let's see, Don says, talked to a hunting buddy of mine in Atlanta, said they have record turnouts there as well. The buzz around town is everybody's really ticked off about what Cobb County has done, and the rumors that Fulton County may have the same similar situations, why they can't be more like us here in Alabama. Now, so Brian says he has a friend that works at CPSI, gets 3 paid hours to go vote. And this is answering Dirt Digger's question earlier. If individual companies want to accommodate that, I think it's great. I think that's a great thing. And so there's a lot of ideas that I'm against the government mandating or doing things that I think are really good things. I just think they should be chosen by the private sector, or even on charitable things, you know, done through churches or community groups. So I'm not, when I say the government shouldn't be doing something, doesn't mean I dislike the thing. It's just the agency doing it. All right, Terry says, here's my law enforcement people coming in. All right. Okay. Daphne, police don't cotton to no hippie bus. You know, I love that word, using cotton like that, Terry. I do that sometimes just to make my children look at me like, what is my dad saying? It goes on 13 pounds and 100 pre-rolled joints with shrooms. Personal use, man. Imagine being the government and being proud of arresting people for having plants. Okay, so that's my man, Jace. And Jace and I probably have a lot of similar ideas on this liberty. But the problem is that's against the law. So you change that. This is the difference. This is where I buck people and have this strong libertarian bent. And they're like, well, how do you do this? Because you change that in the legislative branch. You don't let the legislative branch pass a law, then hire law enforcement to enforce laws, and then get mad at law enforcement that they're enforcing the laws. You get mad at the judicial branch and make a change. Baldwin 5, dang, it looks like that a couple of hippies from California and the tie-dyed bus full of drugs are in a heap of trouble. Yeah. My man Fred, who is wise. First of all, he says, every day you'll see the dust. Too much magic bus. But then he says, a champagne-colored Corolla is the best option. Yeah, what is the most... You know what? We'll have the sheriff here in a second. So what is the least obvious vehicle? That's all I was saying is, if you're going to be toting, you know, Woodstock worth of drugs, probably the tie-dyed van with the weed smoke coming out of it and Daphne... I'm just saying they might have made a bad choice. I know they were migrating. They were migrating to greener pastures for exotic dancing. I get that. And that's a story of our country. Just like the Oregon Trail. Well, maybe some of your forefathers risked everything to cross the prairies, to head to the promised land of free land in the western part. It's similar for this exotic dancer who's trying to come down on her, risking everything. Maximus, maybe it was the mystery machine from Scooby-Doo. It's way big. It's like the mystery machine was like a Econoline size, right? This is like a, what's the term? Like a school, like my daughter, schoolies. You're supposed to call them schoolies. Let's see. Doesn't have Meta says, put a Constitution Company sticker on the side, then put a piece of colored paper on the dash that says disaster relief. You won't ever get stopped at a roadblock. Scotty said, and I thought Daphne Dope Bus was a good name for the dispensary they wanted. It's good. Randy says, I still say most people are going to go vote due to the high cost of gas and inflation, not abortion rights, and votes being perceived threats. You can't put U.S. Supreme Court judges on the ballot, as the liberal-leaning media outlets believe. Yeah, well, I mean, how the government works is lost on a lot of people out there, for sure. Randy, I appreciate the text. Joshua, can you put in, you know, if I can get to it, layman's terms, Amendment 3 and 4. So you're saying the statewide amendments? Do I have time? I got like 20 seconds. If not, we can visit it next hour. So Amendment 3 is proposing an amendment to the Constitution of Alabama of 1901 to require the governor to provide notice to the attorney general and to a victim's family prior to granting a reprieve or commutation to a person sentenced to death, and to void that reprieve or commutation if the governor fails to provide notice. Now, you would say, oh, well, then there can be a loophole and they can get it. The state should be able to do that on number 3. The governor provides notice to the attorney general and the victim's family prior to granting a reprieve or commutation of a person sentenced to death. Okay, the news comes on. I got to say, we'll pick this up next hour, and the sheriff joins us. So stay right there.